Reports of another 8 dead in an Israeli airstrike in northern Gaza overnight and a controversial aid distribution point set up by the US and Israeli-backed Gaza Humanitarian Foundation was overrun by thousands of Palestinians yesterday, desperate to gain access to food after weeks of a near total blockade by Israeli forces. Videos showed crowds walking over torn down fences at the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation's compound in the southern city of Rafah. The group said that at one point its team fell back because the numbers seeking aid were so great. The Israeli military said troops nearby fired warning shots. This foundation, which uses armed American security contractors, aims to bypass the UN as the main supplier of aid in Gaza. To access them, Palestinians are expected to have to undergo identity checks and screening for involvement with Hamas. UN and other aid agencies have insisted they will not cooperate with any scheme that fails to respect fundamental humanitarian principles of humanity, impartiality, independence and neutrality. The foundation's head resigned at the weekend. Jonathan Fowler is the spokesperson for UNRWA, currently banned from distributing aid in Gaza. First, his reaction to those scenes in Rafah.
The level of humanitarian desperation, I think, you know, the sort of apocalyptic situation in the Gaza Strip is sort of underscored by the images that we all saw yesterday. I mean, you know, people have had nothing basically since the beginning of March. I mean, there's been little or nothing. Nothing came in until a little bit of aid last week. And so it's hardly surprising that the kind of scenes that we saw took place. I mean, this is a 20-month humanitarian disaster where food and other aid has been weaponized. Either it's been let in sort of, you know, drip, 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 basically. And then the sudden hope of the aid flowing in during the ceasefire, showing that the UN system was able to do its job fine. And then nothing, basically, for more than 11 weeks. And now this.
There are many, many questions around this foundation. We are being told 8,000 aid boxes were delivered yesterday, which I think amounts to about 460,000 meals or thereabouts. Just describe for us what you know about what's trickling into Gaza at the moment and what the level of need actually is.
Very little information, again. I mean, we don't even have a sense, you know, clearly beyond the images that we see of what's even in the boxes. And something that we've been hearing is that the kind of food, as it were, that's in these boxes is not the same standard as a sort of, you know, normal UN parcel in terms of, you know, being calculated for nutrition purposes. The duration, so, you know, UN boxes last a week to 2 weeks, depending on the size of the family. But the reports that we've been hearing, and again, I want to emphasize, this is just sort of media reports and echoes coming up from the ground, are that the boxes that are being handed out are just for sort of a handful of days. So, you know, there's a lot of numbers being thrown around here. And the sort of opacity of this operation in itself is problematic. But to respond to your question about the overall humanitarian situation on the ground, I mean, all the indicators in the Gaza Strip are absolutely shocking, and they've just become increasingly shocking as this, as this crisis has continued and has morphed. And then we were able to do something to alleviate the situation during the ceasefire with a big flow of aid, again, you know, helmed by the United Nations system as a whole. And then completely shut off again for over 2 months.
You're in Jordan at the moment, Jonathan, where you have an aid warehouse. What do you have there? What are you ready to deliver to Gaza if you could get the go-ahead to do so?
Basically, we have more than around 850 trucks worth of supplies sitting in a warehouse, a value of $24 million, with enough supplies to sustain over 200,000 people in Gaza for an entire month. Now, that includes flour, 2,000 tons of flour. We've got 49,000 food parcels. We've got hygiene kits, we've got blankets, we have critical medical supplies. I mean, this could all be put on a truck and could be sent immediately if only we were allowed to do it. And that's what's particularly shocking in the system. The aid is there. I mean, there are trucks and trucks and trucks sitting outside of Gaza that, if they were given the green light, could go in, take aid in, and that aid could be given to the population if the political will was there. But the political will is starkly absent.
What can UNRWA do at the moment? I mean, you have a vast network of connection and contact in Gaza. You have worked there for many, many years. What can you do on the ground in Gaza at the moment? Can you do anything?
Well, indeed. I mean, although there is no food for us to distribute, and that in itself is of course, dreadful, we are continuing to do our work. I mean, we have around 12,000 operational staff in the Gaza Strip. And I want to underscore that 310 of our staff have been killed since the beginning of this war. And that's absolutely shocking. That's unprecedented in the history of the United Nations for a death toll amongst UN personnel. But what are those staff continuing to do? We have a network of clinics, obviously not as many as we had before the start of the war, but we have around 8 clinics that are operational. We have mobile medical teams. We have sort of small medical points. We're able to do 19,000 medical consultations a day, which in the circumstances is something quite extraordinary. We're also trying to get some children back on the path to education because, of course, these kids have been out of school since October 2023. And then that has enormous potential impacts for the rest of their lives. So, I mean, it's never enough, but we have 35,000 children in our temporary learning spaces, as we call them, you know, doing sort of basic literacy, numeracy, but also psychological support, these kind of things. We have sanitation workers who are repairing water wells, cleaning piles of garbage, trying to remove the lakes of sewage that surround the, you know, the camps where the displaced people are. And overall, in our emergency shelters, that's largely schools that were transformed into to places where people could stay at the start of the war. We currently have around 100,000 people. So, you know, the United Nations, through its largest representative on the ground, UNRWA, is continuing to work, continuing to do what it can. The point is that we are not being enabled to do what we should be able to do. We would be able to distribute aid on a massive scale if we were allowed to bring it in.
That's Jonathan Fowler, their spokesperson for UNRWA.